This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
The last speaker before the break is Rob Berrens, who is Chief Executive of the Office of the Independent Adjudicator, largely because he is the Independent Adjudicator. He's done all sorts of things in his career, from lecturing at what was then Coventry Poly to advising the ANC and then the South African government on elections. You'll probably know that he was the Secretary to the Committee on the Standards in Public Life and later Appeals Commissioner for the Bar Council. He's been doing this job since 2008, and he's going to talk to us today about the lessons from the pathway consultation and in particular the need for greater transparency. Rob.
Thank you very much, John. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm delighted to be here. I'd just like to say that I greatly enjoyed what my colleagues had to say. I agree with almost everything that they had to say about the importance of addressing expectations and thinking from a student perspective and working with students, unions and guilds. And that is absolutely key in getting this right. What I want to talk about today is the experience of running the pathway consultation exercise, which was, as you know, the strategic review of the OIA, which I undertook after I was appointed in 2008. And I hope you have copies of the report. This is not something to put on the shelf. It's something for reading, particularly the chapters which relate to the student experience. So if you haven't got a copy, I'm very happy to send you one. What I'd just like to begin with saying is that we don't operate except under the law, which sets out that universities have to belong to this scheme, at least in England and Wales. And secondly, we are subject to judicial review. And in the last month, I've been a defendant in the High Court, defending decisions which we made in a case brought to us against the Open University. And in the case of Bud, which you can find on the internet, you'll find some of the very issues about student expectations. And happily, the High Court decided that we had behaved entirely properly, as had the Open University. I'm sure you're familiar with the mandates of the OIA. The critical issues here are that students must use the scheme without charge, and this is absolutely fundamental to access. We had a number of submissions from honourable thinking universities to the pathway review, which said if you only charge students, then we would reduce the number of complaints being made. And we rejected that on a point of principle, that if it stops students making a complaint, then it's not a fair scheme. We look at two things, whether the university has abided by its own procedures, and secondly, and commented on by the courts as a wide discretion, has the university acted reasonably in all the circumstances? This gives us the possibility of making recommendations about changing university procedures, though we have no ambition to create a cross-national set of regulations. Unlike in Scotland, where there are different arrangements, only students or former students can bring complaints, whereas in Scotland, anybody can bring a complaint against a university. And interestingly, as I'll come on to, in Scotland and in other countries, at the end of the process, the regulator, quasi-regulator, complaints handler, publishes either a summary of the complaint or the full decision. We are absolutely clear that we cannot look at academic judgment. As a former punk academic, I am absolutely behind this. I think it would create an entirely different situation if we were to look at academic judgments, and we don't do that. And that is not to say that, as some universities think, everything an academic says is an academic judgment. We have had, since 2007, a large number of judicial review applications, rather too many, I think, but all have been rejected by the High Court or the Court of Appeal, and I think that suggests the scheme is in relatively good order. We have received 3,500 complaints since we were set up. The unit cost of handling a complaint is £2,500, and we have made 3,000 decisions since we were set up. In all of these cases, and this is fundamental, in all of these cases, universities have been disciplined and honourable in implementing our decisions and our recommendations. Two-thirds of complaints relate to academic appeals and degree levels. And interestingly, and it's been touched upon this morning, 40% of our complaints come from older students, from postgraduates, and 22% come from international students outside the European Union. This is a very important and interesting issue, and addresses Peter's point about the diversity of students. Now, why did we have a review? Well, the scheme had been in operation for 5 years. The first independent adjudicator, Ruth Deitch, retired after a successful completion of her term. And as the incoming independent adjudicator, it was thought to be a good moment to take stock of what we were doing. It was also clear to me that because the number of student complaints is growing considerably on a year-by-year basis, with no sign that this is going to diminish, we had to find a way of legitimising and conceptualising a way in which we could grow and change, because we were not fit for purpose as far as creating a vehicle for a large number of complaints is concerned. So we had to address that issue for ourselves. But in addition, there was a strong consensus across the sector with ministers and stakeholders that a review would be a good idea to look at the mandate, to address issues about costs, to promote an ongoing dialogue, and most important of all, to discover what complainants believe. And I think that's a very important part of the jigsaw, which I'm going to come on to. So as you'll be aware, there were four elements to the pathway review. An issues and questions paper, which we had over 100 submissions to. If you read the report, you can find on every page a footnote setting out what universities and students' unions think, good or bad, about the scheme. We commissioned an independent study from King's College London under a tender basis to complete a very difficult review of what complainants actually thought about the scheme. We carried out a comparative study looking at our counterparts in Scotland, in Northern Ireland, where there is actually no system at all, in Australasia, and in Europe, we have counterparts in Sweden and Austria. And there were some people who were so angry and concerned that they agreed to give their views only under condition of private interview. So we went around the country taking their views as well on a one-to-one basis. I think there were four risks which were undertaken in conducting this review. First of all, we had to be very clear that as a tiny organisation, we didn't deflect our attention from adjudicating cases. And we tried not to do that. Secondly, I had to get the agreement of ministers to carry out this review, but I wanted it to be a consultative review, and therefore going to them and saying what I thought carried a risk that they might not agree, but they did. But the last two are the most important. What would happen, and my colleagues in the office were very concerned about this, if there were unflattering user views of the OIA, and this was given publicity and prominence. And my view was, and remains, that transparency in this respect strengthens the organisation, it doesn't diminish it, and it builds trust with sceptical complainants who may think that we have something to hide. But actually, all the evidence and all the criticisms which have been made about universities and the OIA are published on our website, and no one can say that we're hiding them. The last point, though, it comes back to the point this morning. that there may be unrealistic expectations by students and universities about what the scheme can deliver. And the answer to this is that we needed to set out the difference between what a student or a university wants and what we think is needed with the available resources and the Education Act available. So it's not just a question of having a review saying, open house, you can have what you want. This was a constrained review, and we set out detailed questions which we needed answers to. We set out, and here is the case, we worked up a series of benchmarks on the basis of three existing sets of benchmarks about whether or not we were going in the right direction. The first is a general account by the British and Irish Ombudsman's Association of what complaints handlers really should be striving towards. The second is the excellent QAA Code of Practice, Section 5, which looks at good practice in complaints. And the third is a public opinion survey carried out for the Bar Standards Board, which sets out what the public want from a complaint system. So all the recommendations that we have made have been tested against these criteria, from clarity of purpose to quality outcomes. Now, I need to say something about the context in which we have made our findings. The first point is that I am the first to accept, and in fact celebrate, that overall student satisfaction of universities is at a very high level. And that is something that needs to be taken into account in all the criticisms which are made in the Pathway Report. It is also the case, if you look at the National Student Survey, that the weakest element of student feedback is in assessment, which is in the area of complaints handling, and therefore it's not unreasonable to focus on that issue. The second thing is that you would have to be an ostrich to recognise that public trust of professions in the United Kingdom is a burning platform. You know, in the last few years, we have seen civil servants, ministers, barristers, solicitors, all embarrassed because the scrutiny arrangements for them have not been transparent enough or independent. And what is encouraging is that public trust of academics is at a relatively high level in comparison to these other professions. But the test is whether that can continue and whether the OIA can meet the need of an independent, transparent scheme. I pointed to the judicial review of OIA decisions. We have 100% record in the courts, which suggests that you should take confidence from the decisions that you're making, that every time a student has protested, which they're entitled to do about the decision which the university has made and we have made, the courts have said the university and the OIA have been justified in the decisions they have come to. And the record of universities in decisions, as you'll see in my annual report, which is to be published on June the 15th in London. We're having an annual open meeting again in London, so you're very welcome to come and have a croissant and a cup of coffee and ask questions, any questions about it. The university's record is very good. 75% of all complaints brought before me are found not to be justified. And only in 1/5 of cases do we find any reason to criticise a university. And so I think you should take confidence from this, that on the big issues, you are getting it right, but there are still things to learn. Now, the missing segment here is what do complainants think about this, the scheme and the way in which you handle them. And the point I want to make is that you should take confidence from all these other segments to look frankly at what complainants say about you and about us. In general, what the Pathway review found was that there is widespread support for the independence and usefulness of the scheme. Nobody loves the scheme, nobody loves the OIA, but almost everybody, as far as universities and students' unions, believe it's better than what existed before, and it helps universities get their better practice right as far as complaints handling is concerned. Universities have clear problems about second order issues, some of which are quite right. They think we take too long, they think that we're too burdensome, and I think those are absolutely appropriate comments to make, and we're trying to do something about. Complainants, on the other hand, had a view which depended mostly on the outcome of their individual complaint, and I think we have to bear that in mind. But two things that they had to say which are important. The first is that even after a complaint comes to us, they want face-to-face contact with the OIA, and they want mediation even after it has come to the OIA. And the second thing is, very important for reputational reasons here, complainants have no confidence that universities comply with OIA recommendations. So the point is, you do, but it is not believed by complainants. And if you look on the right-hand side of this slide, and you can see it in chapter 5 of my report, complainants have a very savage view of their experience at the end of university complaints processes. Most students thought you were too slow in your handling time. 80% of students thought that they had not had a fair hearing. Most felt unsupported during proceedings, and a lot thought that universities didn't take their complaints seriously. 58%, and this is very important, discovered that university documents which were used in their complaint or their appeal were not shown to them until the case came to the OIA. And half of all students complained that they were not kept informed during the very long handling times about why things were not being done more quickly. Now, these are important findings which we all have to take seriously. And I think if we do take them seriously, we can learn a lot and together improve the situation. At the end of dealing with a university, this is how complainants felt. They feel disappointed, let down, angry, emotionally drained, exhausted, and some feel depressed. Now, the problem for me and for the OIA is that students come to the OIA in this situation. It's not a blank piece of paper. So how you handle a complaint has an impact on how we handle the complaint, because we have to try and reverse this negative situation. So I think we're all in this together. You'll see in the report that there are three elements to how we're going to implement our proposals. We have some quick wins on the left-hand side, which we're already implementing. We have an immediate implementation strategy. I'm drawing up at the moment a protocol to allow private degree awarding bodies into the scheme so that there can be unity for students studying degrees. We're going to be reviewing our disability policy and practice, which is a problem for all of us, and I'm happy to talk about that. But the real sensitivity comes on the right-hand side, that I am arguing that in order to increase trust both of the public and of complainants, it is necessary to increase the transparency of the scheme by at least considering carefully whether or not we can publish summaries, not the findings themselves, but summaries of findings. And although the former minister objected to my caution in this respect, I've decided to have a second round of consultation in October, because I realise this is a sensitive issue which we have to get right. And so I'm not leaping into it. I want to take universities with us. And I'm bound to say that in Scotland and in Sweden and to some extent in Austria, this happens without there being a problem of the reputation of the university. So I'm confident that we can move in that direction. Finally, what did we learn? Well, I think we learnt these seven things and some more. But the most important thing is number two, that we have to be very clear in our communication strategy about what we are there for. We are not there as the champions of students or the defenders of universities. We are there as an independent adjudication service. And what we have found is that what students most want is a resolution of their complaint. They don't draw a big distinction between the independent university and the independent OIA. They want us to act in combination, together with the students' union, to resolve the complaint, and that's what matters to them. But point five is important here, and I made the point at the beginning. User wants are not necessarily deliverable, desirable, or objectively correct. What students want from our scheme, mostly we cannot give them in terms of looking at academic judgment, giving them very large compensation, or providing vast mediation services. What we can do is adjudicate on the basis of impartiality. And my point is that we are all strengthened by being frank with students about what we can do and what we cannot do. I think transparency is the key to that, and I think that if we are more transparent, we will increase the trust of the scheme and the reputation of universities. Thank you very much.